Hey everyone, welcome to Locked On Lakers for Friday. Brian Kamenetsky, Andy Kamenetsky. The Lakers lose their seventh straight, this one coming Thursday night, 132-111 to the Clippers. They lose the season series 4-0, a clean sweep for the Clippers against the Lakers. Andy, is this team even going to make the play-in tournament? We'll talk about that next.
You are Locked On Lakers. Your daily Los Angeles Lakers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
I want to thank everybody for making Locked On Lakers your first listen of every day, Monday through Friday. Sometimes on weekends, we get this thing up for you bright and early. No matter where you get your podcasts, how you get your podcasts, you can get this one. And it's always going to be free, Andy. All right. A lot of stuff we want to get into tonight. Kevin Harlan said something, I think, unintentionally quite revealing about the Lakers and the makeup of their roster that is a BFD in terms of explaining why this team is playing the way it is. So we'll get into that, maybe where they could go from here. But man, when you look at Thursday night's game, 132-111 to the Clippers, they lose to the Clippers, seventh straight overall. Now that they've lost, the Lakers are now 8 games under 500 and a scant 2 games ahead of the Portland Trailblazers, who are currently in the 11th seed. Forget Andy at this point. Are they going to finish ahead of the Pelicans? No, they're not. The Pelicans are playing well. The Lakers are playing horribly. It really is. Are they going to make the play-in tournament? Where do you sit on that question right now? Making horse noises.
I don't know.
Horse noises are never encouraging.
I don't know, man. I have no idea what this team is going to do, in part because they have no idea what they're going to do, and they have clearly no idea how to fix the multitude of issues that they're dealing with right now, assuming they are even fixable. So to answer your question, are they going to make a play-in tournament? Hell if I know, man. Hell if I know.
I'm just saying no answer designed to like make people feel good about themselves or inspired ever started with horse noises. That's it. I mean, it was right away you gave it up. You know, you gave it away. I agree with you. I mean,
what makes this so difficult to predict beyond the fact that, you know, as we've talked about, the Lakers are just mired in a really bad place right now with no obvious ways to get out of it. Anthony Davis is not going to be back anytime soon. Talen Horton Tucker didn't end up playing in this game tonight. He was a game time decision with that ankle that he recently tweaked, tried to give it a go, couldn't. So the Lakers were newly shorthanded on top of the shorthandedness that we are used to. When stuff goes bad for this team, and in this particular case, it was in the third quarter where the wheels, Brian, didn't just fall off, like they rolled off the court, rolled out of the arena, and they are still rolling down Figueroa as we speak. They scored 4 points in the first half of the third. And this was coming off a run they made to close out the first half. In the second quarter, they actually played really well. And, you know, they made up some of a deficit and they got it down to 3 at halftime. And it felt like, okay, maybe they found something where they can push things. Like Austin Reeves had a couple sequences where he looked like Hillbilly Irvin. Like it was unbelievable. These passes he was throwing. I mean, it was straight up Hillbilly.
Well, I'll tell you what, that's just damn near magical what that boy's doing out there.
He threw an over the shoulder, no look to Malik Monk for a lob dunk in transition. Like this was incredible. But when it falls off for this team, and this was something LeBron talked about after the game, there is always one quarter that just curb stomps this team. And it just crushes them.
And, you know, on Thursday, it was the third quarter. Lakers had been a pretty decent third quarter team after, you know, for much of the year, the third quarter was their was their bugaboo, but like this one is.
Ryan, I think they're all at this point. I'm just saying, something.
I just remember we spent a lot
something of an open question.
It's like, you know, do they play? They have a losing record on Tuesdays. No, it's like, you know, but you remember earlier in the season.
No, I know.
100, which seems like 1,000 years ago.
Oh my God! Speaking of that, really quick, Brian.
Yeah.
While I was watching this game, randomly it just popped into my head that there was a period where Darren Collison and Isaiah Thomas were on this team.
Yeah.
That feels like 100 effing years ago. It was December. Like this season, man. Oh, this season.
Yeah. No, it ain't cool. So, but like, you know, to your point too, that like this is a box of chocolates. You never know what you're going to get kind of deal. As Frank Vogel pointed out, he started in the third quarter with the same group that made the rally in the second. So it's not like, he benched Dwight Howard. Right. Dwight started the game, and in the third quarter, he started with the group that rallied, which didn't include Dwight. And it's like,
Melo started ahead of him.
You on the one hand, hey, argue about this coaching. Oh, how, you can't keep going small. You can't get all the okay, but it's like it's not like they did something radical. First of all, they did it the other night. They went small in the third quarter, made a big rally against this team. In game one of this little mini almost series. But it's like, you know, agree, disagree, whatever with that choice. It's like he didn't do anything like crazy. It worked 8 minutes ago, you know, based on the halftime. And that got to something that I think Frank said after the game, which was like, dude, we've tried everything. You know, people have asked him, you know, what have you, like, we've tried zone, we've tried switching everything, we've, you know, gone away from the things that I like to do in terms of, you know, playing small, and we put LeBron at center, we've tried the bigs, which are like, there isn't a, if you would just try that, they've started Austin Reeves, which everybody was hoping they would do for the last, you know, Lakers fans were hoping they would do. There isn't a, if you would just try this, if you wouldn't just be so stubborn and would just do that, doesn't exist for this team. It doesn't. And so people need to stop looking for it. It's not there.
No.
It's a bad basketball team.
Yeah, they are not well constructed with everybody, you know, fully assembled. You know, there are even as two people who were fairly optimistic about how this season was going to go, we acknowledged there are flaws and oddities with the way this roster is set up and things that they're going to have to overcome. And, you know, that was when we thought that, you know, guys would stay healthy, that Russ would be, you know, more productive and better, even as a guy that would be difficult to fit. That's when we thought like Kendrick Nunn would, you know, serve as like a breathing human for this team, you know, like
yes,
all of those things. But just the state that they're in right now, between all the limitations that they have, and also, to be totally honest, the mental state that they're in right now, because they know it. They know the uphill battle. They know how much better these other teams are. They know they're not good. And, you know, at times it seems like they're willing to fight through it. Other times, I'd say even more often, it seems like they just see the writing on the wall and can't ignore it. But either way, there's nothing that you look at and say, the F, man, just do that. And I think that reality, you know, although Vogel did say something interesting in terms of talking about different options that we will certainly get into, like one in particular that was quite interesting. But the truth,
you might even call it, Andy, the elephant in the room.
Mm-hmm, but the well-dressed elephant in the room. Yes. But they're just... they are running out of even gimmickry to try. Like there was, you know, I noted during the game at Cam Brothers, because, you know, since Dwight was unplayable in this game, he was absolutely awful. Ivica Zubac was just eating him alive. He
was, Zubac was going to score 97 points and get Dwight out of that game.
So, you know, they start out with Melo in the third, but, you know, the issues they already have, you know, giving up size and in particular giving up offensive rebounds are even exacerbated even more. I was like, I don't know, put Wenyen Gabriel out there with DJ Augustine on his shoulders or something. Like, I don't know, man. But
try something. No, you're right. You know, Kevin Harlan said something unintentionally because of the position that he occupies within NBA broadcasts. That was incredibly revealing, though, about the sort of the state of these two teams in LA. And it gives you a good idea of why the Clippers have been able to keep things above board without their stars, and the Lakers are struggling even while they have two, certainly one of theirs. We'll talk about that next.
Locked On Lakers brought to you by Bet Online. Basketball in full swing for both pro and college hoops, and from all the latest odds, totals, player performance props to where the next fired coach is going to land. God, this one always makes me uncomfortable. BetOnline.net is the number one spot for all your sports betting
needs. There goes Frank, right?
BetOnline remains the best spot for all your sports scores, podcasts, and news this season. And it's not just basketball. BetOnline is your source for hockey, boxing, UFC odds, and sports information. So head to the website, use your mobile device, learn more about the trends in action. BetOnline, where the game starts.
You know, Andy, you did say that there isn't anything that Frank Vogel hasn't tried. He hasn't tried that trick where you know, the gimmickry where like they take the bucket and they run over to a player and they throw it on him and it's actually confetti. And then they do it again and it's actually water. They haven't tried that. You know, there are certain things that are still available to them.
That feels more like something to do to keep the crowd engaged. But, you know, players do feed off energy. So.
Have they tried the Jason Kidd accidentally spilling soda on the floor thing?
I don't think
it might be. It might be time to bust that out.
I don't think you can do that when that's your former assistant who's actually doing better than you this year. Like, can't do
just
that.
Just saying. Okay. So, Kevin Harlan, who is like the greatest, you know, one of my, if not like my favorite basketball broadcaster, right up there. Just, he can make almost any game entertaining. He is powerless against these Lakers, but he can make almost anything entertaining. Too. Oh, he's just phenomenal.
Mm-hmm. Nice guy on top of it.
Very. During the game Thursday, he was talking about the different rosters and their construction. And he said, you know, the Lakers, they're three superstars and the rest are minimum players, which is more or less true. Certainly true for who they had available in the game on Thursday. With THT and Nunn both out. He's like, the Clippers are without their big stars, but have a lot of quality players. And then he sort of realized what that sounded like. And he, you know, like, geez, that's sort of a really kind of a backhanded insult to all the players in the Lakers. And that's not what he wants to be doing. And he kind of trailed off there. But it was a really good point because, yes, the Clippers are without Paul George, they are without Kawhi Leonard. Part of the reason that they're doing
also without Norm Powell.
Yes. Part of the reason they're doing better is because Ty Lue is a really good coach. Like,
yes,
really
good. Yes, he is.
He is a really good coach that could be coaching the Lakers right now. They had a cake and everything. But
he is.
I don't want to live here in the past. Let's be like Mark McGuire. But you look down the list.
We tried to get him hired. We lobbied for it.
It sure made a lot of sense at the time. Mm-hmm. You look down the list of who was available for the Clippers and who played for them in this game on Thursday. And even with Norm Powell out, you have Marcus Morris and you have Luke Kennard and you have Robert Covington and Reggie Jackson and Ivica Zubac and Nick Batum and all.
Terrence and Mann, Isaiah Hartenstein.
Right. Okay. And so now when you get into like to Mann and Hartenstein and whatever, now you're talking about guys who are at least currently on minimum contracts, although Mann's got money coming.
Yeah, Mann has money coming.
So, like, and I'm not saying that each one of those guys is better than every Laker that isn't LeBron or AD or theoretically Westbrook. Maybe you think Malik Monk's better. Maybe you think Carmelo Anthony. But as a group, that's like five or six playable guys, you know, like really legitimately playable. Marcus Morris is a legitimate NBA player. You know, Reggie Jackson is a great scorer. Robert Covington's played very well for them after kind of slumping for a little while. You know, Zoo is a good center. Batum has revived his career. And then you get to the minimum guys, Terrence Mann and Hartenstein and all that. And like, those are decent players. The Lakers have, I mean, count with me here, Andy, but like, you know, Dwight, Reeves, probably as much as I like him, Stanley Johnson, Wenyen Gabriel, Kent Bazemore, Wayne Ellington, and DJ Augustine are all players that on good teams are playing very little or not at all. You know, Trevor Ariza would not play for a good team. Avery Bradley would probably not play for a good team unless it was coached by Frank Vogel. Like, that is massively important. Like, that matters. The Lakers have a massive talent deficit. They're every night playing a bunch of guys that are fringy NBA players at best.
Yeah, I mean, to be fair to the Lakers, they were counting on, like I said earlier, Kendrick Nunn to represent a breathing human being on this team, and yes, he has not been available at all, but that was, you know, their big taxpayer exception guy, and Talen Horton Tucker is, you know, a reasonably priced guy who was, again, unavailable in, you know, in tonight's game. But to your point, though, overall, and I agree with it, the real difference isn't even so much that every role player on the Clippers is definitively better than the Lakers, mm-hmm, although as a collective, they certainly are. I think the real difference is the pressure on those guys to always be good every single night isn't there the way it is for the Lakers, because there are only a couple guys on this team that you really believe in at all when they're out there on the court in terms of the supporting cast. Like, you know, Melo's had a good season. I don't think you can expect any more from Melo than he's given them this year. And Melo would be playing on a good team. And, you know, Malik Monk has been certainly a guy outplaying minimum status.
Oh, yeah, no question.
But there are times, like, you know, I think you've pointed this out before, where they've needed Malik Monk to essentially serve as like a number two option. And
Malik Monk needs, right now with Westbrook playing the way he is, especially offensively, and what, you know,
and we're going to get more into that.
And, you know, James Worthy, I think, mentioned this on the postgame show on Spectrum. He just seems unwilling and very terrified to shoot outside, you know, anything outside the restricted area.
Just like all the fans watching it here.
Right. I mean, I get why. I didn't say it wasn't warranted. And, you know, but like you talk about the sort of the mental aspect of this and the pressure and all that. Like, that's a perfect manifestation of it. But like, you know, yes, they are relying on Malik Monk to be their second best player right now from an offensive standpoint. And that is not going to work. And it's not because Malik hasn't played well, but it's because he's not quite that guy.
Due respect to Malik Monk, he's never been to the playoffs. No. Like, Malik Monk has never been in an NBA postseason, which
he's never been asked to be a consistent,
right?
You know, scoring it and being a team's number two scorer is like a night in, night out, 18 to 23 point
on
gig.
A good team,
right? And so, like, that's not him.
No.
And God bless the guy. He's made himself a lot of money this year. And I am stoked for how the sort of bet he made on himself is playing out. But to your point, Andy, if you're relying on him, if you're in a position where that's, and it's also because like they don't have anyone else who can really fill that role. And then, like, you know, the players on the Lakers don't mesh together because they're generally only good at one thing. Whereas you start to get a little, I mean, and this is the difference between generally minimum guys and even like somewhat pedestrian, even potentially overrated guys, like, you know, that you look at on the Clippers, like
Marcus Morris has gone through slumps. Kennard has seen, last year Kennard seemed like a disaster,
sure,
of a contract,
but they're good at more than one thing. Like, well, you know, like it is easier to create a coherent team out of these guys because they have multiple skill sets. And then you can fill in with younger players like Mann, a guy like Hartenstein, who, and I love how Kevin Harlan emphasizes the Stein part of Hartenstein. Like guys like that who are limited, but if deployed correctly, can be very effective. And all it's like, it's not that you can't have any minimum guys or young players or whatever. You want some of that, but you can't have all of it.
Well, you know, you get what you pay for. And
that's a great way of putting it.
And, you know, this is why, and we're going to end up talking about Russ coming up, but this is why in a recent show, I said that assuming this is a possibility, and I mean, I'm going to start looking through rosters to, you know, gauge at least how live a possibility is it is, but assuming it is, this is why I was really adamant with the idea of if the Lakers are going to look to move Westbrook, and it seems like they're going to, I think they are far better off taking on a couple overpriced contracts of guys, though, who actually can play, just not to their salaries, that go on past Anthony Davis, you know, like past the clean sure. book stage, so you can get actual real players out there as opposed to worrying about the cap flexibility and keeping everything clean.
Yeah, I mean, and look, I mean, whether it's a Westbrook deal that looks slightly different than the one that people kind of throw out there where it's John Wall and draft picks and whatever it is, I don't know what's going to be available to them, but I agree with you. They have to look at deals like that because, you know, the fundamental problem that they have is that that trade put them on a treadmill where the roster would be dominated by minimum contracts, not just this year, but next year as well. And it gets harder and harder and harder to put this thing together. Every year you have to do that. The Westbrook thing, Andy, though, did take an interesting turn after the game on Thursday when Frank Vogel said something, quite frankly, that a lot of fans were hoping they might hear going back a few weeks now. We'll talk about it next.
Locked On Lakers brought to you by Built Bar. Okay, it's March, man. That means your New Year's resolutions have been so tossed out the window. Like the wheels fell off like the Lakers tonight against the Clippers.
But and if it was Westbrook who tossed him out, he probably missed the window.
Oh! Oh! Zing! Got him! But don't bail out on eating right because Built Bar makes it easy. Have you tried the puffs? If you are not eating the puffs, you are missing out on one of Built Bar's best tasting bars. They are the first ever.
The way Westbrook's shooting, he's been puffs passing. Not as effective.
No, you got to workshop that one.
Stop after the first
one. Yeah. Go out on a high note. Puffs, they are the first ever protein-infused marshmallow. They're fluffy, marshmallowy, not just a protein bar. They are a treat and incredible flavors like the cinnamony churro, coconut marshmallow, banana cream pie. They're all going to be your favorite. And Built Bars, again, covered in 100% real chocolate, like only 130 calories, only 4 grams of sugar, only 4 net carbs, but 17 grams of protein. And that is the good stuff. Always great, cool, unique flavor combo. So go to built.com, use the promo code LOCK15, get 15% off your first order. Again, promo code LOCK15, 15% off at built.com.
I was trying to think of another way I could jump in there. I couldn't come up with another joke.
No, that made no sense at all.
No, I was saying like he's playing like he's high. He's like puff pass, like, you know.
Too many jokes
mixed. No, it didn't land.
No.
So anywho,
speaking of, like one of Russ's shots.
Yeah.
There was, Brian, a sequence that felt like this game, like in a nutshell. Reggie Jackson, who destroyed the Lakers and Russ in this game, 36 points.
Clearly loves lighting up Russell Westbrook. I mean, 36, like, really loves it.
36 points, 8 rebounds, 9 assists. And there was a dead ball situation where Reggie Jackson had the ball. Russ tried to swipe it away. And Reggie Jackson ends up hitting a 3. Then Westbrook, the next Lakers possession, tries to answer that with a 3 of his own. It clangs off the rim, bounces straight up, hits the top of the backboard, then goes in. But because it hit the top of the backboard, it doesn't count. That is the perfect summary of this game.
Yep.
And really Westbrook's season for the Lakers.
It's, you know, so after the game, Frank Vogel, in his list of things that we've considered doing, we've talked about everything, was asked about whether or not they've talked about bringing Westbrook off the bench. We've talked about everything, including bringing Russ off the bench. We've talked about everything. I don't know if he's actually going to do it or not. Again, I think it's one of those things you do either if you are Frank Vogel and you're pretty damn sure you're going to get fired anyway, which I think he is, or as an organization, you're pretty sure that Westbrook's not going to come back. You can do it everything that you can, or both, which may be the case. It's not so much, at least from my perspective, that I necessarily expect that they'll do it quickly, or maybe even that they'll do it at all, or that it would even help. But it was interesting that Vogel didn't be like, no, we're not going to bring Russell Westbrook off the bench, because he has been asked that before.
It's really telling to me that he acknowledged it is a possibility and that it's something they've actually talked about. And that means to me, they are legitimately considering it. Whether they do it or not, this is something that has been discussed in more than a way than just a floated topic, because Frank Vogel knows what it means to say, yeah, we might have Westbrook come off the bench. And if that is not something you don't think you're going to do, you don't even go there. You just don't. Because you know that that creates a headline. You know that that is something that is going to be discussed on sports talk radio in LA and, you know, by people like us and people writing columns and all that stuff. If you know that ain't going to happen, even if it's what you'd love to do, you don't acknowledge it as a possibility. Like, I mean, that is the equivalent of, you know, maybe not pulling the pin out of the grenade, but putting your finger in that, you know, pinhole, and you're like, yeah, it's, you know, you're swinging it around a little bit on your finger.
This tells me
if the pin happens to come out and the grenade happens to roll off,
right? This tells me that you may not really be a person to give a grenade to. I'm not sure you'd be like safe grenade handling or really understanding how grenades work.
I know pull a pin out and you throw it.
It can't be that hard. I feel like this is the kind of thing that if you felt that you had a relationship with Russell Westbrook that was capable of thriving and where there was still some there, you actually could do it. And might even want to figure out a way to do it, because this gives you something to maybe change the nature of next season, where he goes in like Lamar Odom or something, where, look, Russ, we're gonna bring you off the bench and we're gonna fill in around you differently, whatever, but you're still gonna finish games and blah blah blah. And then quietly you don't let him finish games or whatever it might be. I don't think they have that. And so to do it this year would be kind of both a nuclear thing, but also, which I guess it's sort of point, like, okay, fine. Like, what
nuclear
are you clinging?
As opposed to what?
Like, what are you clinging to? So, I mean, they could do it. I don't even think it would necessarily make much of a difference, but it is one thing that they haven't tried that they could do.
Yeah.
I mean, of not playing Russ much at all and then, you know, just letting him sit for, you know, playing him 20 minutes a night, but it's not like they have great world beating options behind him that aren't getting floor time because Westbrook does.
Yeah. I mean, that is something that we've talked about before over the course of this season. I remember we had a lively debate with our friend, Claire DeLune, who's, you know, very popular on Lakers and NBA Twitter. You know, she's been a big proponent of playing Russ off the bench if he's on this team at all. And she had her druthers, he wouldn't be. But, you know, our basic point was, I don't think it's actually, remove the politics of it.
Well, I mean, there's also, context, this was a debate we had 2 weeks into the season,
sure,
as opposed to, you know, when they're 8 games under 500 in right. March. Like, it's a very different.
Absolutely.
Very different time.
But I'm just saying, like, the politics of it all aside, because this is a, you know, nuclear football, to say the least. I don't know how much it's actually going to make things better. You know, Russ is still, and this is a sobering thought, but it's the truth, still in the upper half of talent on this team.
Upper half?
And that's not even debatable. Yeah, not even debatable.
No, I mean, he's not terrible. The problem is it's a terrible fit, and he's declined from all-star level play and all that. So, I mean, all the stuff that has been, you know, part of the conversation all year. But again, you're talking about DJ Augustine.
THT when he's back. I mean, you don't have really any other option.
But THT's playing 30 minutes a night anyway.
No, I just meant starting him.
That's right. But I'm saying it kind of only makes sense is if there's sort of this like incredible empirical evidence. And look, I know that most of their better lineups don't contain Westbrook. But I also think, you know, when you start to play a lot of these other things, particularly with AD out, it's a bad team. It's a bad team, badly constructed, with mismatched parts and no obvious solution to things. And Westbrook gets, rightly, a tremendous amount of attention and criticism. I'm not saying he doesn't deserve it, but the trade doesn't deserve it, or he doesn't represent major failings of this team. But he's also like kind of an avatar often, as much as he is, you know, like a thing that was, you know, people were blaming DeAndre Jordan for, you know, people were blaming DeAndre Jordan, Andy, for like their recent run of bad play before they released him. He played like three times in like a month and a half.
Yeah.
It's like, you can't blame him. It's like, you can play. He's around. He's taking up a roster spot. Okay. But like, he literally wasn't even on the floor. It's like blaming me for those losses. I wasn't playing. So, all right.
He was, by the way, surly as hell, Russ, after this game.
Oh, he went after Bill Orem for asking.
Poor Bill, man.
It's been a rough go. But like, this was, Russ was being a douche noodle. He was just being a jerk. Bill asked a very ordinary and innocuous question, and
about Russ's expectations heading into
going
into
the season, stuff that Russ has talked about, and Russ was like, oh, you don't know me. He did the whole thing. This was after, and you know, things, I, not to demean somebody's commitment to their family, and Russ certainly is rightly devoted to his. But when guys get into, yeah, you know, it's just basketball. You know, the most important things is I'm you know, with my family and we're healthy. Like, you know, things are just not going well.
Well, I mean, Russ claiming that he had no expectations,
it was disingenuous and stupid.
Right. I mean, you asked to be traded to this team with LeBron and AD, and like putting aside the fact that you talked about, you know, high expectations and, you know, wanting to be in the championship mix, all that,
your hopes are,
all that aside, are you really like, you know, are we supposed to forget all that, but then also believe that ultimately you forced this deal just to be close to your family? I mean, like, I know he loves his family, but that's not really something.
It wasn't. That was it.
Yeah. Like, yeah. That's not something that players like Russ do, you know, at this stage of their career. Like, yeah, you know, I thought maybe this could be a really bad losing situation. No.
And so, yeah. And it was, so he sort of was in, churlish Russ mode after the game. So, all right. When did they play again, Andy? Sunday?
Saturday.
Ooh. Against the...
Look right now. They play Saturday against the Golden State Warriors.
Golden State... Oh, that's an ABC game. You know, mm-hmm, what I'm saying, Andy? Season starts Saturday.
Yes, it does.
It's a new season. Starts Saturday. 20-game sprint to the end. Let's get this done. It's going to be good because the Warriors are also slumping. We're catching them at the right time. It's perfect timing. Lakers are going to, the season starts on Saturday. I'm very excited. Absolutely. So it'll be a fun weekend and we're going to get into it. We're all going to have a good time. And we're going to be in much better moods. Much better moods.
Nothing stops this train.
Nothing stops this train. Reminder, Locked On Lakers on YouTube. Thanks for making us your first listen. We'll talk to you on Monday.